Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
You can walk my path and you can wear my shoes, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Feller. Jim Campbell's here.
Good day.
Luke Moore is here.
Things can only get better.
And the man who always makes things better is Pete Donaldson.
I thought I was David Guetta. Rhymes, doesn't it?
You're the best thing. I was doing a bit of D-Ream.
Yeah.
Do you remember D-Ream?
I do remember them, yeah.
Are you D-Reaming of World Cup glory, Luke Moore?
Of course.
Hey.
I would if I could sleep with excitement.
I've slept for like 3 weeks now.
Yeah. Really?
Waiting for the crescendo.
It's World Cup fever dreams at this point, isn't it? Not really daydreams.
Easy! Easy!
It's the only cue for the WC I care for.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
They're qualifying.
Go. Bringing out the big words already. Mm. Ladies and gentlemen, England have qualified for Russia.
Of course
keeping
we have.
Two clean sheets in their final two games.
Yeah, that's the narrative, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the story.
Blistering battering we dished out as well.
Oh, look out.
Who else in European World Cup qualification can say they only conceded three goals in qualifying? Spain thus far. They haven't played Israel away at the time of recording. Mm. It is just England. Even Germany can't say that they conceded four.
both England games should have been after the watershed.
it was disgusting.
You can apply whatever meaning to that you want.
It's very much
like the shipping forecast equivalent of football entertainment.
Certainly it was my interest shed and all that.
You have got a lot on your interest shed.
Yeah.
But no one else is allowed in there, are they?
It's an allotment for the pornography. Yeah,
well, that's why no one's allowed in there. Yeah.
I mean, that's the cover story, isn't it? That's the real tragedy. Yeah? That's the thing you want people to think it is.
Don't go in there. It's my dirty porn. Press a button and then I've got an underground lair.
Sorry, who had under a minute in the peak porn suite first?
He's prepared to say that's what's in it.
I know.
Two and a half minutes. So
is it 2.5 minutes?
I can see the clock.
Well, it depends, doesn't it?
Yeah.
On what edits.
On an awful lot.
I'm going to cut that D-ream nonsense at the start and bring in the kids.
How bloody dare you? It's New Labour all over again, ladies and gentlemen.
Tony.
It felt like Labour was in England at times, didn't it? Oh, dearie me. Very conservative performance by... Slovenia and Lithuania. They didn't even try that much.
Well, I was very liberal with the remote.
Join in, Jim. Yeah.
I really exercised my second screen enjoyment of that match by ignoring most of it and just playing on my phone.
Did you? Knowing you were going to do this show as well.
You're monster raving loony.
Well, of course I went back and revised.
It does feel like revision sometimes.
Statistics often dominate the mindset when talking about football, and people are against this. Well, here's one for you which shows you that you can prove... To quote George W. Bush, you can prove anything with statistics. England have gone unbeaten now for major tournament qualification campaigns in a row at four times. Mm. 2012, 14, 16, obviously now 18.
Who gives a shit?
And yet,
who gives a shit?
Well, basically, you're
it's
right, Peter.
It's my song about not giving a shit.
I prefer D-Ream. But it's true, though, isn't it? If you think about that, you know, obviously England have been in fairly straightforward groups, but England hardly conceding, going unbeaten, and so on and so forth, and it's just a bit like...
A glowing testament to the seeding system.
Quite. The last qualifier we lost was 2009, wasn't it? Ukraine. Mm. Rob Green got sent off.
Have a couple of cycles in the South American one, England.
Man.
18 games.
Enjoy.
Brazil, Uruguay, Argentina, Chile.
Well, they say England players don't travel well. No. My goodness, the travelling involved.
Also,
for those players in the South American, you're up the flipping mountains playing one time and then you're in the jungle the next time. Oh, my goodness.
It's so confusing. I don't think England could even turn up on the right day.
No. Absolutely not.
South American qualification is an absolute slog. I mean, we'll get to that, although it's a tangled web down there at the moment.
Strap yourself in for the permutations. Marcus, why don't you start off by telling us what you felt about England's performances since we've last recorded this podcast?
Well, a bit like Leicester City when they were going for the league. Just get over the line with some 1-0s. Yeah.
We were recording at the time that England sort of kicked off, and we had another 2 hours before we saw a goal out of that match, so never mind.
Yeah, I got home well in time.
you did call a last-minute winner in that first game.
Did I? Right, okay. Yeah,
my goodness. Obviously, England, they beat Lithuania away 1-0 on the artificial pitch, and it was rain. Terrible conditions for our brave boys.
Yeah, of course.
And they came away with a good 3 points. Southgate gave debuts to Harry Maguire and Harry Winks to up the Harry contingent.
I like that.
Sort of kind of RAF fighter pilot feel for the England lineup. A bit of daring do.
Harry Winks has been on those Billy as well.
Really?
Harry Billy Winks. Yeah.
Lovely.
Harry Billy Winks. Oh.
Doesn't get more English than that.
Doesn't get more Beano than that.
No, quite.
Well, Winks got man of the match.
Yeah.
So, how old is he? 21, I believe? All he needs is a major tournament to fail at, and then he's the complete England package, isn't he?
Yeah. He could get his England career wrapped up, like, you know, within 6 months.
Yeah, exactly.
It might be a good time to sort of summarise where England are at the moment, because I'm conscious that on the show late last week, we did talk a little bit about how disappointed we are with England and had a go at them a little bit and took the piss like we normally do. And I realise whenever we do that, I'm conscious that's not the easiest thing to do. Like, we could just do that and everyone will be fine.
Did you not hear my song?
No, I did hear I did
it's
hear
very
your song.
Tuneful.
But you can get a cup of tea, do whatever. Right? You don't have to get involved if you don't want to on this bit.
You can talk about Japan when we're, you want.
Have they qualified?
There they have, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're happy then, presumably.
They're there.
Yeah. But... For me, the most disappointing thing, particularly about the Lithuania game, building on from what we said last week, is that I know Lithuania didn't really come to play, and Lithuania are already home and not going to be qualifying.
They had a couple of chances.
They did have a couple of chances. But they did make it difficult for England. Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
So I would have liked to have seen England knock the ball about a bit quicker and drag them left and right and try and pull them out of position. And I think most of the frustration... They didn't do that. And most of the frustration, I think, comes from the fact that England don't really have an identity. They don't. When you think about England, and no one's watched more for England football than you, Marcus, in the last 15 years, but you watch them every single game.
More than Gareth Southgate.
Probably, yeah. And you would agree with that, right? That since Hoddle, they haven't really had an identity, have they?
Yeah.
They don't really think, this is what we're all about, mm-hmm. and we're going to go and do this. And you know what? If you're better than us and you beat us, that's fine, but we are confident in our own system.
Their identity seems to be, we don't know what to do when we've got most of the ball.
That's
when it's 64. When we don't have the ball, they seem to be more up for the fight,
but they still don't know what to do. England find themselves, I think we mentioned before, in a very unique position in international football. That you could argue that they're the only country in the world whose national league is better than the national team, if you know what I mean.
To the point where it's almost like we're the host nation of the Premier League. Do you know what I mean? It's like England and the Premier League are an irrelevant sort of corroboration.
Well, and they are. Mm. But, you know, the Premier League doesn't give two hoots particularly about the England national team, and in terms of capitalism, nor should it, sort of thing, sadly. But with regards to England, that unique position I talk about is England are clearly better than a lot of teams that they will play in qualification, and they are clearly inferior to all the sides that can play a bit. Even if you talk about the likes of Portugal, who England probably thought, oh, we're similar to them. Belgium, for example, would be another one. England are, but England are better than, say, some of the Scandinavian nations. England are almost in that little, their own little pot, if you like.
Like Darren Huckabee, basically.
Yeah, kind of. It's a strange position England find themselves. So England, when they play against a lot of sides will just think, oh, well, we'll stick nine men behind the ball and we'll catch you on the counter, and teams nearly...
This is why I brought up the identity thing, and you've summed up quite nicely why I think that's important. Precisely for that reason, England have about 8 or 9 months between now and the start of the World Cup, and I think they've got 4 friendly games against some good teams, play Spain, Brazil, Netherlands, and one other, I think.
Next month it's Germany and Brazil.
And they might not play Spain then, it might be someone else. But anyway, what I'd like to see Gareth Southgate do is, whether it's just with his coaching staff or with the FA more broadly, or even maybe publicly, work out what England are. Work out the type of team they are. As an example, I'm not saying go with this, but as an example, we are not as good as this team. Mm-hmm. If we want to get anywhere in the World Cup, i.e. quarterfinals or better, we need to challenge the top 7 or 8 teams in the world. Let's be like Burnley. Let's make it really difficult to beat
us. I agree.
Let's make it really difficult to be beaten. Yep. It won't be pretty, but really, I mean, England weren't amazing in World Cup 90. Until really the Cameroon game, which was an amazing game. Other than that,
England underestimated Cameroon, nearly buggered it up
big time. So other than that, they weren't that impressive. Yeah. If you think about it, last minute winner in extra time against Belgium.
Well, the best performance in the knockouts was against Germany.
Yeah, stunk the group out and got through. So look, my point is, no one really remembers that. People always talk about World Cup 90 as being the last great sort of thing we did. So once he's done that, then he needs, in my view, needs to pick a group of players that fits into that. So. And not sort of shoehorn players in. And we've talked about that before, but the reason it's different now is because once you've settled on an overall philosophy and an identity, which I realise is a bit of a stretch 9 months out from a tournament, but it could still be done. You could still make an improvement.
That's international football when other teams manage it.
So you say, if you're going to play a 3-4-2-1 or whatever, you're going to say, right, we're having 3 centre-backs. Who are the best centre-backs? You know, is it Cahill, Stones and, say, Keane? You've got Stones as a ball-playing defender. You've got Cahill is very
experienced.
Stones
sweeping. Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then you play 2 behind the striker. And you play Kane because he's always going to play up front. And you play 2 behind and it's going to be Lallana and Ali, presuming everyone's fit. Mm-hmm. Don't then play Sterling.
Yeah.
Or don't shoehorn someone out of position to go, oh, but he's a really good player, so we're going to play
him
anyway.
There's always someone coming, isn't there? It's like this Winks thing, sort of. Everyone get excited about a new young player. We've got decent players who are around about 24, 25. Stick with them. Just play them to
your system. It's about a team who's players who are good enough, isn't it?
Yeah, but...
What I'm saying is, my point is, these players fit in the system well. Oh, yeah, but you've got this other guy who's really good.
Yeah.
And he's not quite as good as that guy who also plays in the position. So we're going to play him somewhere else. Don't do that. Play a specialist in the position.
Well,
and then the final thing, just quickly, I know I'm going on a bit here, but just finally, if you are going to play two players deep in midfield, play a decent holding midfielder, and there are different ways to interpret that role. You might want to interpret the holding midfield role like Eric Dyer does, but you might want to interpret it the way Michael Carrick does or Jordan Henderson does. Yeah. Jordan Henderson is really, and Dyer are basically same position but different ways of playing that position. Don't play both of them and ask Henderson to do something else. Get a player alongside whoever you play in the holding midfield on the half turn who can drive you forward, because that's really important in that position. So all I'm saying is put the round pegs in the round holes, settle on the identity ahead of the World Cup next year, and if we don't do very well, be safe in the knowledge that actually you've put a bit of a platform together for the next generation of players to come in and the next manager to come in, because you know that's what England are. That's what I would like to see, rather than just this listless sort of getting through qualification by having bad performances but getting a result.
Well, that's what kind of worries me a lot about Gareth Southgate's comments after the game, where he was saying, you know, effectively we're through qualification now, we've got these games to sort of, you know, to really take it to teams. That's surely negligent planning, you know, that you just try this very conservative way to get through the group and then come up with something over four games.
Well, I thought Southgate actually, he's been very honest, that's what a lot of the pundits have been saying, and he mentioned that now they've qualified, they can look to develop the team. And I think with Southgate, he took over a side which qualification was underway. Mm. And bearing in mind, he didn't really probably want the job. Mm. He was put in there. You have to qualify. There's no two ways about that. And again, against those sort of smaller teams, England could just play 4-3-3 and pick anybody, and they should still win those games. That is the difficulty for someone like Southgate when he's got a qualification campaign against such outfits as England played. Now, I think that I think you're right in what you say, Luke. I think with England, it's kind of, how do they want to play? Because Chris Coleman and his Wales side in the Euros just gone, they knew what they were going to do and they knew how to play.
And also, those Welsh players, they play in the frenetic environment of English football as well. Mm-hmm. I think all of them do. If not, well, with the exception of Bale, of course, who plays overseas. But the point is, the lion's share of them play in England. They either play in the Premier League or they play, say, in the Championship. Both are very fast-paced, physically demanding leagues. Yet they were able to get to the semi-final in 2016. Mm. So it's not just all about the league. Mm-hmm. But it is really important that England, I think, do the things I've just said, but also foster this mentality of continuity. So everyone, also every ex-pro you ever speak to, or even current player that's had the exposure to him, will tell you that Steve Holland is one of the best coaches around. They've never worked with a better coach than Steve Holland, and he's in the England setup, right? He can implement whatever Gareth Southgate wants to do because he's a great coach. Gareth Southgate just needs to pick those players that suit that the best.
Well, I think Southgate, he'll go for a 3-4-2-1. I think that's what he'll do, because he's played that against...
I would be in support of that. I would broadly be in support of that.
I mean, against Germany and... who was it? The friendlies. Against Lithuania, they played that. But against Spain, Germany and France in recent friendlies, England played that. Now, France were much better than England when they played them. I think they've been 3-2. Although England still got two goals.
But France were miles better.
Yeah, they were a lot better. It should have been more, and Germany better. I mean, England nearly beat Spain. I mean, these are friendlies.
They need to have... Marcus, they also need to have an intensity, though.
They do. But with England, they've just gone for that physicality in the centre of midfield. There's no kind of real thought about it. And I think Southgate is actually quite honest, and I think he knows what England's, they are capable of and what they're not capable of. And I think his real dilemma is, who does he go for those two in the centre of the pitch? Because you'll have Ali and maybe Sterling or Lallana, hopefully, in front of him, whatever it is. Mm. But do you go for Dier and Henderson? Because I don't think you do. I mean, Martin Keown was very dismissive of those two and said when they get the ball, especially Henderson, he takes a while to turn and so on. He said Wenger used to give, was it Alex Song and I forget the other one, drills to do in training.
Would be Arteta.
It wasn't Arteta. It might have been Diaby, actually. But anyway, they would receive the ball on the half turn, take a touch, and immediately you're away and play.
Well, for me, if you're playing that 3-4-2-1, I don't want to get too tactical or whatever. You're playing that 3-4-2-1 and you're playing two deep midfielders in front of a back three. You have to play a sort of holding player, whether that be Dier or Henderson. The problem with Henderson at the moment, to me, is that he's trying to be Steven Gerrard, both for Liverpool and for England. He's not that player.
No.
And he's not got the passing ability, in my opinion. He's not that type of player. So he has to either play, or Dier has to play, whatever way you want to interpret that holding role. Next to him, Marcus, I completely agree, and it's something I touched on earlier. Get a player who gets the ball on the half turn and drives you forward either with a great incisive pass or by going past a man. So either, you know, Harry Winks has shown against Lithuania, he was fantastic in that role. And a year or so ago, 18 months ago, I said about John Stones. John Stones will make mistakes and he's naive and he's green, but he's a really good player and he'll improve all the time.
England don't take risks.
And he's showing that now. If by the same token, I can't be completely hypocritical and say the opposite. If they think Harry Winks is the player to play that role, pick him. Just pick him and pick him and pick him and see how he gets on against these great teams in the friendlies, and see if he can take you into the World Cup, because they need complementary players in those two roles. They can't just play Dyer and Henderson because it is so slow, it is so ponderous, and it is so like off the pace. There's no intensity, and you can't do that in a major tournament, especially not against good teams.
It's where we come unstuck, isn't it? Because it feels like England have played very much with a handbrake on in the sort of qualification process, and it does feel like a missed opportunity. Because as you said, we're going to beat those teams, even if you are a little bit more adventurous and a little bit more experimental. They're so likely to qualify.
Well, I've beaten four major campaigns in a row.
Exactly.
I mean, that shows you. And exactly. Then in those four, well, obviously we haven't had the 2018 one, but in the previous three under Hodgson, did absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
I did agree with Chris Waddle when he thought that Jonjo Shelvey should be given a go.
Well, the thing is
with Shelvey, he gives you such a different option.
Yeah,
and people
not...
think I'm sort of slightly joking, but I am being slightly serious. I think that such a maverick player, let's see the type of season he has, because if he does get five red cards a season, okay, fair enough. But I honestly think that somebody...
Would you rather a player who gives you five red cards a season playing? At least he got something about them.
I think that
suggests intensity of some sort.
Well, you're absolutely right.
I mean, I don't think that Jonjo Shelvey is the solution for England. I think at international level, you don't get that sort of time on the ball to spray passes.
He hasn't got the temperament at the top level.
Ability-wise,
he's good.
But whatever happens, and I think we're getting the vibe here is just... It can't be same old England.
We had the raked Hollywood balls from Gerrard. They don't work at international level, and I think that's what Jonjo Shelvey gives you.
Okay, but with since 1966, England have won, I think, six knockout games at major tournaments. Euros and World Cup. That is
that's
a damning
crazy.
Statistic. If you look at Euro 2016, England played four teams. England were better than all those four teams. They won one of them. Mm. They won one game against a fellow British side, and they won it in injury time.
Yeah.
These are damning statistics, and this is why we sort of joke around and think, oh, go on, England. And of course, when the tournament comes around, I'll catch the fever like anybody else. But when you put those statistics forward, and when you actually look at it, it is very sober reading, and Southgate really needs to try and come up with something. But like I say, I think Southgate is actually quite self-aware or aware of his side's limitations, very much so. And I think he's a man who will do what he wants, because everyone is so low on the international. Yeah. Because if previous tournaments under Hodgson, people go, and there's no expectation on England, which I think is a good thing, so I think we'll do better. Well, you've just put the expectation back on.
Absolutely. Southgate's in the job of just over a year now, isn't it? And I think he's pretty much performing as expected. I don't think it's any sort of spectacular changes that really stand out. And it does feel like we are pretty much going through the England motions. But the one thing that does make me think maybe we will get back to that sort of at least glorious failure is a player like Harry Kane, who can get you like a 94th minute winner and just drag you over the line. It does remind me a lot of Gary Lineker, when England really needed someone to step up. He's starting to be that player. So maybe we can get our hopes up.
That's very hopeful thing.
You can go deep in a tournament by being solid and relying on a world-class player to do
absolutely
something.
You can.
But I mean, just, I don't want to drag this out forever, but a couple of quick points on what you guys have just said. One is the formation thing is all very well and fine, and what I've just said, I think it would be a good start, but it's no good if you don't show intensity in the formation anyway. I mean, if you're going to be so slow that they were against Lithuania, it doesn't matter what formation you play. A good team is going to be able to defend about that against that really easily. And secondly, just a final thing before we move on, I'd like to see him treat these friendlies against good teams with the intensity.
Absolutely.
Just because it's a friendly, it doesn't mean you have to play to the friendly mentality because they're going to. Hit them hard and see what happens, because you'll make a game of it. And England have had some good friendlies in the past. You remember that one against Argentina, which was played at a great pace?
Oh, in Switzerland.
Yeah. They need a bit of that. England need a bit of that because they don't play strong, competitive games against really good teams ever unless they're in a tournament. Yeah. And that's a problem for them, especially given our squad is so young.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. But England are in Russia, lest we forget.
Overall, though, by the way, I know our expectations are high, whatever happens, but we have qualified. We should be appreciative of that and look forward to it and all that and note it. But at the same time, we want more.
Well, I think that was... Yeah, you're right. I think Southgate... absolutely. I think Southgate did sort of say that when people were already padding them. He sort of understood what people are saying. And as I say, I actually think Southgate is very honest in his interviews. But he did sort of stop a few of them short and go, right, can I just enjoy this? Because I just can't put England to a World Cup. I know it's a bit piss-poor, but for me, at least, there is a little bit of job satisfaction here.
Do you remember when I missed that penalty? I've been waiting for ages for this.
There we are. But sadly, Scotland will not be joining England in Russia.
Yeah. No.
Unless, of course, they want to come along and support England.
Doubtful.
We're all part of the same union. Look, get involved, we will do with the Welsh.
They just ran out of road, didn't they, Scotland?
They did.
I wondered whether they would come into the to tournament form, qualification form at just the right time, and they were going to do it. But those last two games, it was you could see both sides of the coin. You could see that if you gave Scotland the chance to win their final two games and get into a playoff, they probably would have taken it.
Yeah.
But they left themselves so much to do. That Slovakia game took a lot out of them, didn't it?
The problem was it was the final four games. After the point against England, which actually got them going again, and they'll look at that and really rue that because they should have defended Harry Kane's equaliser, as Ali McCoist was going on about. Yeah. They had four games left, and actually they set themselves a target to win all four, and they were so close. Mm-hmm. But to win four games straight in qualification is an achievement for anybody, by the way, but especially for a team like Scotland, who were sort of slightly licking their wounds from a few previous results, the one-all home draw with Lithuania being a big one. It was always going to be a huge task, but, Jim, they were so close.
Hell of a goal to open as well.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. I mean Slovenia... I don't think Slovenia had conceded a goal at home.
Not in that quality.
I mean, it's a really, really good result when you look at it in isolation. I do really feel for them, because they were excellent against Slovakia. I know that Slovakia had a man sent off. But Scotland really, really did have the bit between their teeth. And I just think it's a shame. You know, I mean, not everyone can make it, and who knows if they'd have got through in the qualifiers. But, we want to see as many home nations there as possible. I did enjoy the genetics chat from from Gordon Strachan.
The real reason they didn't qualify.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I would have a little bit more time for that if Gordon Strachan was like 6'6" and massive.
or if he could manage a team that could play the ball on the floor.
Yeah. Well, I see it, one of the goals was fizzed along the deck. You know,
the second Slovenia goal was so poor.
Well, yeah. they got into a situation where they from what I saw both the games that Scotland played, and they worked so hard to win that first one, and you could just see it. And about 10 minutes after half time, they all started dropping. He played the same back five in both games, by the way. Mm-hmm. And they started dropping deeper and deeper and deeper. And they couldn't play with any intensity at all. Mm. They had no press, they had nothing. And they still almost pulled out the
final. I know.
When Snodgrass took his goal brilliantly, just after that, Anya almost forced an own goal. It was very close. Old Black's a great keeper. And if it wasn't him, it was a lesser keeper, it might well have been a third goal for Scotland.
Yeah, but poor old Strachan and his poor wee laddies against those big, tough Slovenians. I mean, Strachan, he did go on and on about the size of the Slovenians.
He did.
He was basically saying that we just get a man and a woman, a tall man and a tall woman.
Yeah.
And see what they can do.
And see what they can make.
Plan for the future, a weird sort of breeding programme.
So that's 20 years away at least.
Yeah. That's even if you get it right the first time.
Yeah. I thought the first, like, 11 times.
Yeah. I mean, normally the FA are a bit piss poor with their ideas, but come on. Let's get a load of big people to shag. Apparently, and then we'll have a better team. I mean, it's not.
Apparently the team only learned they'd be playing 4-4-2 6 hours before the game. So, I mean, like, you've got a question sort of Strachan's
some managers don't give the team until right up the...
Well, Strachan's... Apparently Benitez never used to do that.
Yeah.
But Strachan's... The biggest... you've got to understand that in context, I do, because the biggest criticism of Strachan in his tenure, certainly this time around, this qualification cycle, is that he's been too negative. Mm. So they had a situation where, as Marcus touched on there, they drew at home to Lithuania. They're a goal down with a minute left. And they were so negative in that game. They managed to pull it out of the fire and get a point. But that is a game you've got to win. You know, Scotland aren't as good as England. Really, they're not as good as Slovakia either. They're probably on a par with Slovenia. Yeah. So they've got to do something. They've got to go above and beyond to get in that top two. So that means, from straight off the bat, if you're playing at home to Lithuania, who've got no chance of qualifying, you've got to win that game.
Yeah,
and they started out so negatively. I think him flipping to 4-4-2 for the Slovenia game, they had to take it to Slovenia. And you sort of give yourself two up front. Chris Martin's very busy. Lee Griffiths can be very busy. It could have put them on the front foot, but it only would have worked if the midfield and defender pushed up too. And Griffiths looked so isolated, especially in the second half.
And you can say all that, but you are forgetting about the genetics, of course.
True, yeah. They are genetically very, very... it's very tough for them.
Well, according... And to back Strachan's point up, he said, in the last campaign, we were the second smallest apart from Spain. And then talking about other teams, not just Spain, he said, nobody can tell me their technique apart from one player is better than any of ours, but physically we have a problem. Isn't the problem with British football that it's often too physical? We've focused on the physicality, so he's trying to flip this around and say, actually, you know, all that talk about the physical stuff, actually, we're that's where we're lacking.
Where does Scotland go next?
Gordon Strachan, 50 caps for Scotland, 5'6", scored the goal in the World Cup, a goal in the World Cup. He's undermined his own argument. arguably one of the greatest ever players Scotland's ever produced, Jimmy Johnston. Mm. 5'2".
The salmon.
5'2".
Yeah, I mean, Kenny Dalglish wasn't exactly a giant either. It's a
It's an
strange,
odd thing to say.
It's just an emotive response from a really gutted man, isn't it?
I do feel sorry for them because they have to do interviews straight afterwards. Yeah. And some of the stuff I come out with at the best of times, I mean, that'd be coming back to haunt you, that.
You're right, and you've put it more eloquently than I would there, Jim, because I would say it was an odd thing to say from an odd man.
Yeah. he is quite odd.
But entertaining. Unlike his side.
Not on the pitch.
He's a funny one, though, isn't he? Because he's either really jovial or really grumpy. There seems to be no kind of in-between with Strachan. And I sort of respect that about him.
All depends on the results, doesn't it? We're going to talk more about World Cup qualification after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I better go to Cashpoint and get some money, if I've got any money left.
We better go to
it's
Peter.
It's time for correspondence with Pete Dolls. I've got them in my hand, Marcus. Ready?
Oh, look at this.
Go on, ready.
He's all over it.
Someone...
You're slowing up.
I know, you've used... Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Exactly.
We just get on with our jobs, mate.
Go on, Peter.
Tom.
Fire away.
All right, from Tom. One half-time in the early 2000s. We had the home makeover presenters, Colin and Justin. Remember those guys?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Mm. I remember them, yeah.
They're Scottish, I believe, weren't they?
Yeah.
They were paraded at Aston Gate at half-time. They came out of the tunnel and tried to flog some second-hand fruit machines. Not sure why, but I thought I'd let you know.
What, Bristol City?
Yeah, wow. Really weird. I don't know what the second-hand fruit machines... I genuinely Googled it, because that was a really obscure kind of euphemism.
Yeah.
It's not.
You know, you get those people who were famous, but you've completely forgotten that ever existed.
Yeah.
Those guys.
That's
that.
A really good example. Yeah. Roland Ratt's another one.
Yeah.
Mm. Roland Ratt's not a person, though. That's worth noting.
Person's hand.
Yeah.
Hello to Amrit George. Hello, Amrit. Hello, guys. Something finally happened that made me wish to mail the show. I am in India. I love how my Tuesdays and Fridays are ramble days, though I do get depressed how my adopted team, Manchester United, haven't been mentioned enough this season. A recent quirk of Marcus has come to my attention, though.
Is it out of his mind?
Whenever he mentions Tom Heaton, I can sense him blushing in a rather mysterious and childlike way.
Yeah, yeah.
He keeps calling him a good lad, in inverted commas, every single time on default, and I believe this is a story that must be investigated. You can feel that his tone shifts in a very crush-like way. What's going on, Marcus?
You're blushing now.
Is Tom Heaton your Clint Hill?
No, he's not, because I don't know Tom.
I don't really know Clint Hill.
You do. Come on, don't lie to the listeners. No, I think he's a lovely lad.
Yeah. I would pull the email up on one thing. There's nothing mysterious about it. To me, it's very straightforward.
Right.
Yeah.
Marcus is in love.
He's a huge fan of him. Yeah.
I think he brings out the sort of the Neil Warnock in me. he's a good lad.
Good lad.
Pete, last week on the show, we talked about the England squad and we talked about the goalkeepers. Marcus did chime in there because he could. Tom Heaton's number three, though.
Yeah. Can we please remember that Heaton needs to go?
No, but you've got the heat on for Heaton.
The reason for that is that the number three is actually. You can't have a goalkeeper challenging for realistically for number one who's going to be the number three.
You just want to see him in there.
I think...
Heaton's on!
My hope is that he becomes our Pepe Reina.
No, your hope is that when you go watch England in the World Cup, there'll be a couple of cameras cut into Heaton on the bench, sat there in his tracksuit, and you'll have a lovely old time.
Yeah.
No, just knowing he's there.
Yeah, exactly. In your own tracksuit.
In my own tracksuit.
Yeah.
Bring out that warm
glow. Big Sam and I watching in our England tracksuits.
Hello to the Taipei Magpies. I run a team, the person has emailed in. I run a team in Taiwan called the Taipei Magpies. At one point in our training, we often got a group of ultimate frisbee players telling us they owned the pitch and they kicked them off. So that's another kind of like.
I love that we got an email from Taipei.
A football based. Taiwan, football based.
Cancellation.
Right, ultimate frisbee problem.
Football based what?
What? Do you want to read the emails?
No.
Then shut the fuck up. Right. Hello, Ryan B. I want to share with you a little story about the Ramblers' best mate, Alan Pardew.
Football based, is it?
Yeah, football based. I attended a charity dinner to celebrate the achievements of Steven Gerrard last week, and whilst I was there, it was my job to be a football spotter. This involved recognising general folk from the world of football, ranging from Matt Letizia to Roy Hodgson, and asking them as they entered the dinner room to head down to the press area and have their photo taken for charity. Everything went according to plan until I jumped from person to person, asking them to have their photo taken, and then I came upon Mr. Alan Pardew swanning through the doors. I politely approached him and asked him to have his photo taken. First off, he ignored me, and then on a second attempt, just snapped at me, "Do I have to?" I replied, "Well, you don't have to, but it's for charity, Alan." This is when he just smirked at me and went, "Nah," and carried on down the stairs. As he passed me, I couldn't believe what caught my eye. Embossed on the back of his dinner jacket, neck to tail. In fact, I'm not even buying. I'm not having this, Ryan B. But apparently, neck to tail was a full-length black dragon, complete with large Chinese characters. I can only assume read Big Boss Pardew.
That is true. Remember I was saying that the other week when you're in a sort of a high street shop and you look at, you think that's quite a nice top or whatever, and you look back and it's a sequin dragon or something.
It's the sort of thing that Alan Partridge's friend Michael would wear.
When his missus ran off with his brother and son.
Before he flies a helicopter into the sea.
Everyone else, and the thing is about this email, it's the details that kind of makes me believe that it's real. Everyone else was a complete gentleman, especially Matt Murray, who was shocked that anyone recognised him.
He's an absolute legend, Matt Murray. Such a nice guy.
And he took the time to talk to me about his beloved Birmingham City, as he was the correspondent at the 6-1 thrashing to Hull that weekend.
Hey, Matt Murray?
Yes.
No. He's a big Wolves fan, not Birmingham City. So Ryan's got
He was at the game.
He was at the game. He's the correspondent. If you'd listen to the email.
Read that sentence again. I'm not having this.
Everyone else is a complete gentleman, especially Matt Murray,
Birmingham City.
Who was shocked that anyone recognised him and took the time to talk to me about my beloved Birmingham City.
I apologise.
Listen to Ryan through the vessel of me and stop interjecting.
Sorry, mate.
He's a good keeper, but not as good as Tom Heaton.
No, I think we can all agree on that.
Taylor Wilson, as the official Steve Claridge correspondent for the Football Ramble, I thought a drop in with the official Steve Claridge update, as it's been a while. He's fine.
Good.
Thank you, Taylor Wilson. And finally for now, Oliver Hidalgo, Volleben, I think.
What a name.
Basically, he's mentioned the fact that Ronaldinho posted a photo with the ruling warlord of Chechnya, Ramzan Kadyrov.
Oh, great.
So, there we go.
Great.
Yeah.
Just on that, I mean, if you are going to be money, can you make sure you've got an easily pronounceable name? Because that is annoying.
Yeah.
Well, Ramzan Kadyrov's quite hard as well.
Yeah. Oh, do you want some highlights of the week? Over there?
Yeah.
I've got some air, Pete, if you want.
Yeah.
First up, Elliot Roden, taking my 5-year-old son to his first game on non-league day. Tunbridge Wells lost the A26 derby to Crowborough 4-1 at home. Quote from my son: next time, can we go and see real football like Tottenham?
No. Oh.
Get it in there first. We've got a few non-league day ones, actually. Here's the pick of them. I spent my Saturday, this is from Sam Cooper, I spent my Saturday down at West Didbury's non-league dog day. Any fan who brought their canine companion got in for £3.
That is,
and he said, I spotted 23 dogs in attendance.
That's class.
The future is what that is.
Gareth Townsend, deciding not to watch England and actually do something enjoyable for 2 hours, like catching up on my Acar specials. Excellent choice, Gareth. The most recent one is Carolyn Radford, CEO of Mansfield Town. And don't forget, if you do subscribe to Acast Plus for £1.99 a month, you get access to all the old specials and all the future ones as well. So do that. And I'll finish off with a couple of Gordon Strachan themed ones. Rude not to.
Of course.
Louis Moorhead. Dr. Gordon Strachan, expert in genetics, posting his in-depth findings was a real scientific highlight of my weekend. Glad he was putting his time off between international breaks to good use in the lab. And I'll finish with this one from Rob, who says, Gordon Strachan seeing the writing on the wall with football management and trying to seamlessly move into his future role as head geneticist for the Scottish FA.
You can get operations to make your legs taller.
No doubt you've had them.
Do you,
Big in China.
You mean longer.
Say again. Yeah. What did I say?
You don't measure legs in tallness on their own, do you?
The guy who lays it off your glands.
Well, you could say taller legs, couldn't you? I mean,
well, you
technically.
Could, but it would be mental. Odd.
Don't you join in, Jim. You're usually my ally in this shit show.
See, now you've gone too far.
Jim's not your ally just because he doesn't get involved.
You see what happens, Jim? When good men do nothing, you get lobbed in with them, don't
First
you?
First they came for the Pete, and I said nothing.
Pete, if you could have your legs longer, what would you do? A couple of inches longer?
I'd go for 10 inches longer. So but my legs would be really long and my body would be really sharp.
So hang on, you're not adding height to your legs, you're staying the same height but you're making your legs longer.
What, like I said, like, what do you mean?
No, he means he'd be taller overall.
Yeah,
basically,
right.
That's how
legs work, isn't it?
No one wants any of a Pete Donaldson 6'6" tall man. No one wants that.
It would be terrifying, actually. Yeah. You'd have
like
a natural authority that you simply don't deserve.
Right. Yeah. What have I done to Jim this week?
We've got to move on to Group C, Peter. I'm terribly sorry.
I'll tell you why, Marcus, because he knows what he's done.
Northern Ireland booked their place in the playoffs thanks to Scotland's 2-0 draw with Slovenia. Oh dear,
gutting.
Yeah, there you are. You see, but they could have been the worst team to finish in the second places in European qualification. Obviously, at the time of recording, Wales haven't played Ireland yet, and all those games on the Monday evening. But Northern Ireland are going to be there. It'll probably be Slovakia looking at tables who will miss out. But ladies and gentlemen, when you listen to this,
as ever with this time of the year, it's really difficult with the permutations. But I was confused by that you said that because they're above Greece and Slovakia, Northern Ireland. So even if Wales and Croatia both win, they'll still be above Greece and Slovakia, so they can't finish below them.
Yeah, I know. I said Northern Ireland are absolutely fine. I said looking at the table at the moment, it'll be Slovakia. They'll probably drop out.
But I don't see how Scotland's draw affects that, is what I mean.
Well, Slovakia...
So we not get into it? I'll just trust you. That's fine. to me, it's confusing.
Well, how many points have... Because obviously Scotland, had they have won, they would have had more points. Slovakia wouldn't be in there.
True, fair point.
So
maybe that's why.
Then maybe the Greek thing.
The Greek thing is interesting.
True enough, but anyway, Scotland aren't there. Slovakia are. Well, again, at the time of recording, who knows, ladies and gentlemen? At the time of recording, England haven't won the World Cup. But Chris Brunt did score a funny own goal, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And I found it very curious that I know you sort of want to be belt and braces about it, and it'll be gutting for them to lose out in that way. I mean, no one wants to go in. I think that's a horrible rule, by the way. That ninth place thing, isn't it? So you would never want to be a part of that. Mm. But I found it very curious that Michael O'Neill played every single booked player who could miss the first playoff game. There were six of them in his first 11 who were one booking away from missing that first leg.
But I think it made a difference because they're not seeded now for the playoffs, whereas had they have won, they may have been.
I did some calculations earlier, and I think if Republic of Ireland beat Wales quite well, I think Northern Ireland may still be able to be seeded. Because because Northern Ireland are higher than Republic of Ireland, but they're lower than Wales.
The problem is, though, while people are listening to this, they might say, well, that's a stupid point, because Wales won 8-0.
All my points are stupid.
I also did some calculations earlier, and the answer was boobs.
It'll certainly go tits up for England and Russia, you would suggest, wouldn't you? But yes, Northern Ireland are heading to the playoffs.
Yeah, let's just stick to the stuff we can be sure of.
Indeed
we
can.
Well done, Northern Ireland.
That's right. A little word on Norway. They did win the game 1-0. They've had a terrible campaign, of course, but the one bit of hope for them is 19-year-old midfielder Sander Berge. I'm not sure how that's pronounced. Berg, maybe, as it's Scandinavian. But he looks a player currently in Ghent. Could be as big as Martin Odegaard, is all I'm saying.
Well, we can, but hope.
Christopher Berg.
Lofty heights. He plays for Genk, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, what did I say? Genk? Yeah,
no, I don't remember.
I think he's 19. Odegaard's still only 18.
Mm. Well, apparently Odegaard's tearing up trees at Heerenveen, so he's actually sort of back on track at the moment on loan. Good. So good luck to him.
Yeah, well, there were a lot of trees with his name on, Jim, to tear up.
Well, quite
or pull up rather. Germany topped the group with 10 wins, 43 goals, with a +39 goal difference, setting a new scoring record for European qualifications.
Did you see Goretzka's goal against Azerbaijan, the first one?
Lovely goal.
Back heeled it into the ground. Just disgusting.
Taking the piss. Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Well, the records have been tumbling as well in that part of Europe, because Poland, of course, who border Germany, they will join Germany, England, and Russia.
But Germany did score. Didn't Germany score, let me get this right, didn't they score 15 of those goals against San Marino? So they beat him 8-0 and 7-0, I think.
Is that right?
Yeah, so he can be deceptive.
I know, but it's... Well,
see, how the little slugs get on next summer.
Well, again, England have got the best defensive record, joint with Spain, before Spain go away to Israel. If Israel score, England will have the best defensive record.
And that's legitimate.
And that is another statistic, ladies and gentlemen, which is very legitimate, as Luke just said. Robert Lewandowski scored his 16th goal in qualification, which is a European record for World Cup qualification. 16 goals. Yeah. He scored in this campaign.
They look like they might have snatched a draw from the jaws of victory, but late on, Lewandowski scored that fantastic goal where he just bullied the keeper.
I mean, it's just different classes. I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo is on 15 now. They are to play Switzerland this week.
But Switzerland have been very good.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, Switzerland, I mean...
That's a great game. That's the game of the week.
They've won
the
every single game. I mean, it's tempting to say at first glance, oh, Portugal doing that thing where they go through the playoffs again. Remember against Sweden, that was an amazing game.
Yeah. You spoke about it last time, yeah.
Zlatan scored two and Ronaldo scored three. But actually, Switzerland have just been very good. Yeah. It's all come down to the fact that Switzerland beat Portugal the first time round. So Portugal could well return that favour.
They could well do. And if obviously Portugal win this week, then they will go through number one. Yeah, Portugal, they got the better of Denmark, who finished second 4-0, which was quite surprising. But the Danes, Denmark beat Portugal. Let me start that again, ladies and gentlemen, because Poland got Poland got the better of Denmark because they finished first. But Denmark did beat Poland 4-0 quite recently, and Denmark were the side who missed out being in that ninth best second place team. They certainly made sure this time, because I think they're
second or something.
Because
the Portugal-Switzerland group, whoever comes second there will be top.
Yeah.
And then Denmark will be up beneath that.
And I hope the Danes get through, because they've got a good side. They've got some decent players, and it'd be nice to see them in Russia. And their Scandinavian pal Sweden look absolute certainties for the playoffs too.
That great Dick Advocaat quote, he said, well, they're not going to beat them 8-0. Literally beat them 8-0.
But that has really thrown it, isn't it, in their favourites?
Well, yeah, I mean, unless there's
is it like 7-0?
Unless there's a Dutch hammering, Peter. surely Sweden will be in there.
They don't have to actually beat them 7-0 because they're playing each other.
Yeah.
So every goal that Netherlands score, Sweden get one chalked off. So
right.
I think they need to beat. I think Sweden, Netherlands need to win by four goals.
It's a tall order.
Oh, it would
especially
be surprising.
On current form, yeah.
Assuming France win their match at home to Belarus, because if Sweden beat the Dutch and then the French mess up, then the Swedes will be in the top spot. Unbelievable. But of course, joining all those European sides and Russia and Brazil in the World Cup next summer will be Egypt.
Oh.
They have returned to the Cup since 1990.
Wow.
I mean, for crying out loud. This is a side who have won, I think, four African Cup of Nations titles.
Yeah.
06, 08, 2010, they won. They had a great side then, but they missed out on the World Cup because it was dominated largely by the West African sides. But Egypt, they're in. And it's amazing. And the scenes of celebration in Cairo were fantastic.
Oh, but even during the game, for the first goal, and the not just the scoring of the penalty, but the awarding of the penalty, there was a pitch invasion from the dugout. On every occasion.
It's brilliant. It's one of those ones where they did that and you thought, lads, careful.
You really got
to convert that penalty before you start getting... And when they scored that penalty, I think it was only about a minute or 30 seconds left, I did think to myself, is the referee just not going to bother?
Yeah, no, honestly, the game hadn't finished and the bus came onto the pitch so they could start the parade.
a lot of sort of quite notable African teams are going to miss out this time.
They are.
The Ivory Coast are going to miss out. Cameroon are going to miss out.
No, Ivory Coast are still in it.
Ghana are going to miss out, are they not?
Ivory Coast, Ghana.
Oh, that's because there's another round of games, isn't there?
There is another round of games. They host Morocco, and a draw is good enough for Morocco, but a win for Ivory Coast would put the Ivory Coast through to Russia. But Ghana, South Africa,
Ghana
and Cameroon.
Ghana are definitely out, aren't they?
Yeah, South Africa and Cameroon as well. Nigeria joined them. Alex Iwobi. Alex Iwobi got the goal to clinch qualification.
Absolutely.
But the Egypt one is a wonderful story.
Well, it's been one of the sort of great anomalies of modern international football, isn't it? They've been so good in the African Nations, African Cup of Nations, and then not managed to qualify for the World Cup. So I'm just delighted for them.
Yeah, their manager.
Really looking forward to seeing them there.
Hector Cuba from Argentina. He's been on medication for high blood pressure due to the intensity of the qualification campaign.
And it's also worth pointing out in the African stage of or the African sort of part of the World Cup that we're still on track for an African nation to win the World Cup before the year 2000, like Pele said. So. Still got a lot of time for that to happen.
That's naughty.
Well, that's what he said.
Slagging off Pele.
Well, come on. Well,
he shouldn't make it so easy, should he?
Have a go, Ronaldinho.
Well, he's said all sorts of stuff.
He's done all sorts of stuff.
I look forward to his prediction.
Oh, my goodness. Right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to mention the South American qualification if we can after this.
It was like the parting of the Red Sea. People just went, whoop.
The preview show sponsored by Bet365 is out on Friday, everybody. It's going to be a belter. Club football is back.
Yes.
You will be very pleased to know. But
kicking off with Liverpool Man United earlier.
I mean, it's a huge one. It is a huge one. Our man who was betting this time around, he didn't get it right because he predicted Belgium to win and Bosnia-Herzegovina to score 0 goals. They got 3. Yes, Belgium did win, but he was wrong.
Yeah, well, I mean, your first mistake was doing that against a Martinez side. I didn't want to say anything at the time. So Sam Crawford's missed out, so we're looking for a new person in the hot seat. The competition is so vigorous for this hot seat. We get a lot of requests in, so do get your suggestions for Bet of the Week in ahead of the show at the end of the week, and I'll pick out my favourite one.
Yeah. And it's well worth a turn.
The elusive ORE still not there.
No, very much so.
Do you think we're going to get one before the end of the season?
I do.
I do too, actually. Yeah, we've got a lot of time.
Because I might have to take my jacket off.
Oh, you might have to roll your sleeves up.
Get involved.
I might have to take my tracksuit top off and
get your Hervé Renard shirt on.
Yeah. Oi, I am the Empire.
Yeah.
I need an ORE.
Yeah.
We dish them out. on the preview show, though, I was going to say it's going to be about club football largely because that's back. But I think we will mention the South American qualifying, because we will know by then whether the likes of Argentina and Peru have made it to Russia 2018, because it is all to play for this week in CONMEBOL.
If only for the hotel rooms.
Yeah. It's an absolutely fascinating one. Ecuador host Argentina. There are so many ways this can go, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, the complicated thing about it is that you'd think, oh, Argentina would just win, and because surely one of those teams above them is not going to get points.
Yeah.
But of course Brazil are above them, and they're playing Chile, who are also above them.
Now Brazil have qualified.
Yeah, no, but they're playing Chile anyway.
Yes.
So they need Brazil to do them a favour, essentially, because Colombia and Peru are playing each other, and they're the two teams directly above Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, there's no point getting into it. I tried to do it on the radio earlier, it's impossible.
It really is.
Argentina need to beat Ecuador and Quito, and Argentina lost at home to Ecuador as well already.
Yeah. It's a tough place to go all the way up at altitude, Quito. Mm-hmm. Uruguay are all but qualified, so surely Uruguay will be there, which will be great because they're a good side. And they'll probably mug off England again. But that's fine. We're used to it.
Well, Uruguay, the lowest Uruguay can finish is fifth, and then they'll play New Zealand. So you'd say that they're going to be there.
Well, this is it. I mean, no disrespect to New Zealand, but if Argentina do finish fifth, you would fancy them against New Zealand.
No disrespect to New Zealand, but those teams are all much better.
Yeah.
It's got to be said. It's really got to be said.
It really does. It's quite funny because people in Brazil have been asking if or suggesting that their national side might go slightly easy on Chile to mug off Argentina, but then everyone was saying this is absolute nonsense, you know. And I, to be honest, I obviously can't see that happening.
Well, you're going to have a handful of players. Just look at it at a very basic level. You're going to have a decent handful of Brazilian players who are going to be in the squad at whatever happens. But by the very nature of how these things work, some of those players will be playing for their positions in the World Cup this year. So they'll want to try.
I did see a photo, though, a day or two ago of Neymar, Dani Alves, and the great Ronaldo sat in there, and I thought, oh, if some of those players have been out drinking with some of those boys, it could be a very lacklustre Brazil performance. But we shall see, though. But yes, basically, if anyone, any team in South America have got a chance of qualification, then a win would really help their cause. You know,
Marcus, are you suggesting there that the sort of the Brazil legends are actually trying to surreptitiously mug off Argentina by just making the current crop all hungover?
There's an idea for Ronaldinho and the boys, but it'd be great if Peru could get there. Because they have not been at the World Cup for a long, long time, so they got a good draw in Argentina. Nil-nil.
It would be great, but I'm torn because I would love to see Peru there.
Yeah,
but I would think it would be very sad to not have Argentina there.
It would be sad to have Argentina, but and this is the trouble with the South American qualifying at the moment, because there's so many decent sides. I mean, it would be good to see Chile there because they are a very entertaining side. Mm. We obviously want Uruguay there as we've said. Colombia are good at the moment. Falcao is scoring hatfuls of goals for.
We love
for
to see him sort of, you know, really do it at a tournament.
We want them all there.
Well, I'd like to see Peru there because it'd just be great to see Nobby Solano there, who I assume still plays for.
Get him and Teofio Cabilla.
Yeah, why not? Before we wrap this up, it's worth something we didn't mention. Iceland have done so well as well.
They have.
We forgot to mention them in the European ones.
Yeah.
They've done so well. And also, great to have a four-yearly mention of the teams that New Zealand have been up against in their qualification process. So they've got past the might of New Caledonia, Fiji, the Solomon Islands, Tahiti, and Papua New Guinea. Tough.
Well done.
Tough at the top.
Round of applause.
I'll tell you what, England would make hard work of that.
Yeah.
They'd win them all, but it wouldn't be enjoyable to watch, would it?
Well, to be fair to New Zealand, they only beat New Caledonia 2-0 at home.
That's fine, isn't it?
That's a win. Yeah.
It's a clean sheet.
Can only beat what's in front of you.
Exactly, exactly. Oh, and we should mention as well, before we go to Going for Gold, that the Faroe Islands picked up another point. They're on 9.
Killing it.
And another clean sheet, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell
That's
you what.
Really good for Faroe Islands.
Qatar, they're coming for you.
Well, not because it does markedly mean something.
Absolutely
it means that they'll
right.
go in, hopefully could go into a better pot next time.
Absolutely right. Talking of pots, let's jump into Going for Gold. When they're
going for Gold.
Going for Gold. It's time for Going for Gold. Marcus Speller, Jim Campbell, and that guy in the corner. Are you guys ready for a little bit of mystery football action?
We are.
Is it international themed?
Don't tell him. Don't say anything, Peter.
We're going to tell you, but you're the
kind
as well.
Of.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't.
Kind of.
You don't want to know.
No, I just don't think that's.
I can confirm that it's an international footballer.
It's great.
There we go.
That's
poor etiquette.
I don't care if anybody
that's
knows.
That's poor etiquette. You didn't even use Norberto Solano's middle name.
Speller, I hope you don't get
albino.
It.
Which is albino.
That was Jimmy mentioned.
I'm not talking to him.
Spellsy, I hope you don't get it. You've hurt me today. I don't get it.
What are the scores, by the way? Because we've had
I'm
a few
winning.
Weeks off.
Marcus,
you're winning.
Marcus I've qualified for Russia.
Yeah. Me and Jim are in a playoff.
Right.
I think Marcus has 3 or 4. I've got 1 or 2, maybe.
You've got New Zealand's got one somewhere as
yeah.
well.
Luke's got a holding deposit on the Airbnb. Marcus has gone full hotel.
Oh, Marcus is in the first-class cabin of the plane.
With Tom Heaton.
Yeah. Me and Jim are baggage handlers at the moment.
We got a double booth. Right.
I was going to say, the only way me and Jim are going is if we get some sort of like marketing jolly with some brand partner at the tournament.
We are listening, by the way. Yeah.
Yes, that was a plea.
What's the email address again? I was born in Manchester in 1967. Sorry, I must point out that this comes from Dunstan Westbury, which is the finest name I think we've had this year. I'm going for Gold.
Manchester 1967?
I was born in Manchester in 1967.
The year of the summer of love?
The year of the summer of love.
Wow. Okay. 1967 Manchester, all right.
Okay.
I played football with someone over the weekend in 11-a-side, German bloke who has played a lot, and he was born in 1966.
Okay, that's a good story. You got any more like that?
Literally,
a man was born in 1966.
You're playing 11 aside.
Yeah.
There's no Dickie Balfour, is he?
No,
those who remember.
I was born in Manchester in 1967.
Stop. Clayton Blackmore.
No, not Clayton Blackmore. I played
international
for
football.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I played for Sutton United and Bournemouth before joining Norwich in 1993.
Stop. Chris Sutton?
Incorrect.
Oh,
stop.
Yeah.
Mark Robbins.
No.
That's a good guess.
That was a good guess. Can I have a guess?
Yeah.
Jeremy Goss.
It's not Jeremy Goss.
All right.
So that I
love the pause he does.
Yeah.
That's
like,
not really good at this.
It's like when Chris Tarrant used to do it on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah.
And a little bit when Simon Cowell decides whether you're going to go through or not.
When Simon Cowell's destroying people's dreams.
Yeah.
It's good, but it's not the one.
It's a bit like Roy Walker.
I scored the Canaries' first ever goal in European competition.
Stop.
And 10 days later, I became the first player to score a 4-goal haul in the Premier League.
Ooh, I was going to say Rule Fox, and I'm going to stick with it.
I've said stop, and I'll go for Robert Fleck.
I was going to say Robert Fleck, so if it's that, he's got it.
We'll find after the break.
Oh!
No, you got it wrong.
By the way, I don't know much about football stats, but I will put a decent amount of money that Rule Fox has never scored 4 goals in one game.
Also, you can't suddenly put in a break.
Once. Say again?
You can't suddenly just put in a break.
No, that's what Terry used to do.
It's suspenseful, isn't it?
Who wants to be a millionaire?
Me.
Everyone.
My brother Abby was a Great Britain discus champion. And Bradford Bulls Super League winner as both a player and chief executive.
Oi, come on.
I'm just asking if he knows it. I don't know it.
Who's he?
Who's this mystery man?
Who's this mystery man?
Is this guy an international football player?
Yes, he's an international football player.
Mm. Carry on.
All right, then. I was part of the victorious Nigeria 1994 African Cup of Nations squad.
Stop. No, I've buggered that up, sorry. I was going to say Daniele McCarthy, but it's clearly not.
Oh. It's nice to hear the name.
Yeah. So you can read that clue again, just for the sake of Jim.
I used to love that 94 team.
I was part of the Amanike.
Yeah.
The original one.
Stop, Amanike.
I was part of the victorious Nigerian 1994 African Cup of Nations squad. Good showing at the World
stop.
Cup as well.
Hey, no, you've had your guess.
I've never guessed.
You said
that's
Amanike.
A joke guess.
Yeah. No, you said the word stop and you guessed.
I know it.
You said stop, did you not,
that's
Peter?
A joke.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fair dues. by the letter of the law.
That?
Jim, go on.
Can you believe that? Look at his face. Luke is as angry as Marcus usually is.
Peter, one more clue.
As soon as I start speaking, you can say stop, Luke, anyway. So.
I will.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I also
stop.
Paid for...
Efanikoku.
Efanikoku. I also played for Wimbledon, Grasshoppers, Zurich, and Sheffield Wednesday. Thank you, Dustin Westbury, for that particular.
Cheers, Westbury.
That was excellent. I'm not fuming at all. When I have genuinely no idea, I'm thinking, please, one of us get it.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
So actually, it's all about the team.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to get another point.
Well done, everyone.
Think of Luke, Jim, and I as a team in this, but within a team, we can also get the top goal scorer.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I want to be the best player in the team.
No, of course you do.
Well, we weren't so confident about the coefficient side, though, were we?
No, certainly not. Certainly
you guys.
Not.
I mean, it's not really an international theme, one, is it? Efanikoku.
It was part of the African.
Yeah.
Nations Cup winning
94. Yeah. I've heard it.
Did he go to the World Cup? Presumably he did.
You've done the research here, so.
No, I haven't. Dunstan has.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening to the Football Ramble. It's been an absolute pleasure. Any more for any more, gentlemen?
No, that's it from me.
Yeah?
We'll be back on Friday.
Look forward to that.
We will be. And we're going to be talking about club football, as I say, and that South American business. Mm. We'll find out how it ends up.
It's much easier when it's all happened.
Definitely.
Isn't it? Definitely. It is. Yeah. So, you don't have to make any predictions.
End of the week, watch us shine.
There we are. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
See you later.
Bye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.